You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Catherine Cristani, and we talk about her story of recovering from chronic stress. We talk about how she knew she needed to make some changes in her life, what those changes looked like, and how life looks different now for her because of the changes she's made. A part of this story is about trusting her intuition and some other gifts that she has. It's a really good story. I think you're going to love it. There's a story within this story that relates to her and her being a guest on the show, how she ended up being a guest on the show, and me trusting my intuition about that. So this is super fun. I think you're going to love it. Let's do it. Catherine Cristani, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I sure am, Amy. I'm really excited to be here, actually.
Yay. All right. So I start all of my interviews. I ask my guests where in the world they call home. So where are you phoning in today?
Currently just south of Sydney in Australia.
Oh, I love that. I love that. It is a thing I love about the way we do business in 2025 that I can connect with people all across the world. I had another interview recently with somebody who was in Australia, and it was earlier in the day. Is it the middle of the night for you?
No, it's 5 a.m.
Oh, it's so early for you. Thank you for making that commitment, getting up early for me. I really, really do appreciate it. That's amazing. You're pretty high energy for 5 a.m. I am impressed. Once upon a time, I did a presentation to a group in Australia, and I stayed up until, I think it was 3. I think it started at 3 o'clock in the morning my time is what I did. And I was like, okay, single. I'm only doing this once. The next time I present in Australia, anybody wants to have me come speak in Australia, I'd prefer to do it in person. I'd prefer to fly all the way over there and do it in person. All right. So in a second, we're going to get to the topic of the day, which is not my aversion to middle of the night events. But I want to ask one more warm-up question, which is, what is something that you do to take care of yourself that you might consider self-care?
Well, it's so funny you say that because I normally get up around 5 a.m. But the reason I get up at that time is I spend the first hour of day on me. So I do like little bits of yoga and some exercises. I do meditation and then I like just make my tea and then I'm ready for the day because that's before my child wakes up too. And it's just really nice to get your mindset starting with you rather than waking up and running to things. However, today I did wake up and start to talk to you, and that's okay because I like talking to people. And I also think that's a form of self-care because I get to share stories.
Very nice. I love it. So normally you have that routine that is so famous with mothers with children, which is to get up before the kids to make some time for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's funny because when you stop doing it or you want to have a sleep in, then you're really cranky because you get up and you don't have that hour of time for yourself before the rest of the family get up.
Also, if the kids get up earlier, that used to drive me crazy. If I got up early and then the kids were like, hey, we're up too. I was like, no, this is not the deal. Please go back to sleep. You have 45 minutes. This is my time for the quiet house. How dare you live your own best little life? Yes.
Exactly. Fully resonate with that, Amy.
I thought you might. I thought you might. All right. You don't know this about me, but I have a pretty big family. My kids are grown, but I do remember those days. So the topic of the day, not how small children are terrible sleepers, but how you restored your health from chronic stress by leaning into your intuition. Yay. I'm excited to talk about this. My first question about this is, how did you discover or become aware that you were even experiencing chronic stress? Like, what was going on?
Well, by this point in my life, when it was starting to get incredibly bad, I was pretty much living 24/7 in my business, in my company that I built. Like, and I say 24/7 because I'd go to bed and then wake up in the middle of the night, I had insomnia. And instead of, I started to write to-do lists of the things I had to do the next day. And then I discovered this little function called delay send on email. So I would get up instead and write all the emails I had to do and do all these to-do list things and just started doing them in the middle of the night. And, because I could hide that from people that that was happening. And it was basically I was visiting my naturopath every 1 to 2 weeks and leaving with a box full of supplements to keep me going. And it was like, all these natural herbs and things like that. And it was barely there. Basically there so I could survive rather than thrive, because it was keeping me from going to such a place where I couldn't work because I was the breadwinner as well. So, if I didn't work, then we had no money coming in. And as much as I had a company also supplementing our income, it was, me still trying to have extra money coming in so we could do other things too. So it was constantly, and also I made the company to a point where I was the centerpiece. And everybody had to come to me for everything. So even I remember when I was, after I gave birth to my son, I was in the hospital recovering and I was still checking emails and working because that is kind of when it started. And it was when it got bigger and bigger and bigger that I got sucked into that chronic stress. And I was suffering from adrenal fatigue as well because, when you don't sleep for that long and you're constantly waking up like that, your body can't recover. So, I was more primed to, when I did have a chance to, come down from the stress, I would always get unwell. I would always get some form of sickness because my body had been starving it off with the cortisol and the adrenal, and it was just functioning so hard. And, it was when the panic attack started and the anxiety that I knew it was just getting too much, because it was like the idea of having to go face something and I'd be like, and this constant need to, try and prove my worth and trying to believe that how good my company was doing was a reflection of how good I was of a person. And, it was all of that just surmounted. And it was only once I kind of stepped away from that and started to recover that I realized how bad it was. And also the fact that someone said to me, I was working with an alternative practitioner, and she said, "You were this close to an autoimmune because your system can only function that long before it starts to attack itself because it can't run that high all the time. It's like revving an engine constantly. It's not going to work over the over consistently over time, and it's going to fall apart."
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's so much in there. So you just mentioned chronic stress, and then you also mentioned adrenal fatigue, which is a thing that you hear about. Some people believe it. Some people will tell you that it's not a real thing, adrenal fatigue. I'm not one of those
It
people.
is.
I'm just throwing those words out. Like that's not the reason I did that. So you had, tell us a little bit more about your life at this time, because we're meeting you today. You're doing something completely different today. But what was going on? You mentioned that you had a company at that time, and at one, you're pregnant or you're having a baby or you have a kid at that time. Describe like what your life was like at that time before you realized it. Like, so you were had a business. Tell us about that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so my company at that point got to a point where I was lucky I could actually have a little bit of time off with my baby. My husband kept working, and then situations changed, and he became the stay-at-home dad, and I became the main breadwinner again. So we flipped because I could earn more in a day than he could earn in a week. So logistically, and it made sense for me to go back, and that was okay. So my background is a speech language pathologist, so I worked a lot with children. And people would constantly tell me, "Your job must be so amazing and fulfilling. You get to work with kids and help them talk." And but on the inside, I'm like, "I don't feel that way at all." Like it's
Okay.
just, and I love working with kids. I think they're great little humans. But I always felt there was something more I should be doing. When that part of your soul's screaming, there's something more. There's something bigger. This isn't exactly your path right now. And you're not living your purpose. So. It was through that kind of inquiry that I kept searching for more. And in the meantime, the business was growing. So we expanded the premises. And then, the lockdowns happened. And because we were health, we were still able to stay open. So it didn't really impact us that much. It just meant we had to do all these other things. But through all that, I
So
was
you were
still
doing at the
searching
time,
because.
what you were doing is you were doing speech language pathology in person and remotely with children who needed support.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so a
Okay.
lot of our caseload were children with autism,
Okay.
spectrum disorder. So that's a chunk of our caseload. But it was always like that for me. I could always, now I know why, but I always got along really well with children with autism. I don't know what it was. It was just something that I always had a gift for. And it was only once I started to unpack kind of and went through my spiritual awakening. And I recently started listening to the telepathic tapes. And I went, oh my goodness, now I get it, because I could always have this silent conversation with these children. And I didn't realize it because I could see that they were in there still. And it was so beautiful. But again, there was still something more niggling at me that there's something more, there's something more, there's something more. And so, my company's getting bigger. It's really successful. I'm just getting more and more stressed because I'm taking on more and more and more, when really I probably should have hired an assistant or something like that. I don't know. And I just kept doing more and more and more because it was me. I was like, I'm going to do everything myself. Life has like shown me that if I have to do it, I have to do it on my own. And it was just so, I wasn't seeing my family. I was constantly working. The office was open 6 days a week, so I never really got downtime, because even on a Sunday, I'd still have like to check messages and things to see if there were cancellations and reschedules and what staff were coming or weren't coming if they were unwell. So it never stopped. Like, it just, even I remember going away this one weekend to go camping, and I never went away. Like, I was like, great, I'm just gonna tune out. There's no reception here. And sure enough, on the way to the campsite, my phone was just blowing up. And it was like really interesting questions. I want to say a different word then, but it's like, hey, do you know where the, how, my mouse isn't working. How can I fix that? And I'm like, have you checked the batteries? Oh, no, where are the batteries? I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. So,
And you
like
did
little
mention that
things
you had
like this.
created, you were at the center. You did mention that you realized that you were at the center. And I call that being, you become your own bottleneck, which
Exactly.
when you start
Exactly.
as a solo practitioner, or in your case, you were the person doing the therapy, it's a really, really easy thing to have happen, where you're all of the
Exactly.
things. So you're simultaneously in charge, but you don't realize that you're also the bottleneck that's preventing things from getting done. And so that is okay. So there's a lot going on. You've got this business, you're at the center of the business, you're burning the candle at both ends for your business. You've got small children, so you've got a busy home coming together. You are feeling insomnia, you're not sleeping well. You're using technology. I gotta say, the delay schedule send in Gmail is one of my very, very favorite things. I do it all the time. Not for middle of the night texting, because that I don't do anymore. But that's one of the things I do when I batch work. I will get everything ready and I'll send an email. I'm like, 3 weeks from now, I'm sending you this email. I think it's the greatest thing. But in your case, it was a way of covering up. You didn't want people to know that you
It
were
was
up
just
during the night.
exactly. It was an enabler, Amy. It was enabler. It's
Yeah.
like, I'll keep enabling you to live in this dysfunction,
And you didn't
and
know, yeah. So then, and then you have lockdown. And you have
And,
lockdown,
but
which was not easy
I
for anybody.
actually, well, it's funny because my life didn't kind of really change. It's interesting because we could still st the first one we had in Australia, it felt really uneasy and uncertain. And I just hired, like, I didn't have a big team at that point, but I just hired someone new. And I'm like on the phone to, like, we have Fair Work here. And I'm like, hey, what are the grounds? Like, I've just hired this person, but I don't even know if I'm going to have work for her. And, I don't know what's going on. And they're like, oh, you should try and keep her. And I'm like, again, I don't know what's going on. But it was like this uncertainty. But as we kind of navigated through that and got, procedures in place and protocols in place, we actually, because we stayed open and chose to stay open because we'd done the right thing, so we could do that. We actually had an influx of clients. So this is like a
Oh.
weird kind of segue, because everyone else was scared and shut down. But I was like, hey, we're doing all the right things. I trust in my health. I trust in my immune system at that point, because I was being supported by a naturopath, right? Let's just see what happens. And, it was nice being that way. And my staff were really grateful because they could still come into the office space and do work and, just have that breakup of the day. So they weren't always stuck at home. So they were in a good mental space too. And then by the time the second one came, we were like, they were like, oh my gosh, we're going into another lockdown. I'm like, ah, we've done it before. And it was like the weekend that we just moved offices and expanded as well. So it was just, I was so just not really caring by this point. I was like, all right, you know the drill. This is what we got to do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we just had all those procedures in place already, so it wasn't as bad. And even I ended up being had to isolate at home. And it was actually the best time for me, Amy, because it made me stop and slow down. So I had to stay at home. I was working on the computer, and I'm just like there going, oh, I'll just bake some scones today. I can do that, put them in the oven. So it was actually a nice reflection for me being put in that situation. That's when I really started questioning things a lot more because I was like, why am I so happy at home? Being forced to step back a bit. I was still doing all the stuff for the company, but I couldn't see as many clients because not all my clients could go online depending on their level of functioning and things like that. But at the same time, I'm like, there's something weird here if I'm feeling so good at home. And in that too, I'd already started this spiritual reawakening journey where I just started to do some more meditations and things like that. And I was like, there's something more, there's something more.
So yeah, it's really it, this reminds me of the story. Like this is not something I have ever wished for, but it's a story I've heard from other people that there are women who are out there who are so overwhelmed and stressed by the combination of their life and things that they will actually experience feelings of jealousy of people who go into the hospital. They look at like an illness as like, oh my gosh, to have an appendectomy, like appendicitis and a recovery, that would be less stressful than my actual life. I've never experienced that, but that's one of the stories people tell. It's like you are burnout, you're trying to do too much, you're trying to be everything to every person, and you will, you'll have like a collapse, a systemic collapse if you push yourself too hard. Okay, so you're d spending time at home. You have a niggling sensation that something is wrong, like because you, if you love your job and if everything is right, you shouldn't be so happy like being away from it, right? So you mentioned this, right? You talk about intuition, right? In the introduction that you gave me, you talked about intuition, and there's another piece of this, but was intuition already a part of your life before this reawakening, or was it something that you began to discover as a part of this?
Yeah, I just didn't realize that I always did it right. So I would always trust my gut instincts, like always. So even, every business decision I made, like every hire, I would trust my gut. And it usually panned out really well because, I had a business partnership before I had my own company. And, I throwing my instincts, I could see where there were gaps in the market. And I'm like, hey, I have this intuitive hit that we should go out to preschools and offer this free service. And then, people will come to us after that because we've done this really nice free thing. And then my business partner at the time was like, oh, that's brilliant. And it did. It caused this massive influx for children to start to come to us more and put our name on the map. And, it helped build up our reputation. And then, before we knew it, preschools were inviting us back to talk to parents. And, it's just like that was all following this gut instinct. And even there was moments in my life that I reflected back on once, you understand what was happening. And I remember this moment. And my sister got in the car after school and she looked at me and she's like, oh, you'll never guess what happened to my friend today. And I just went, I didn't even filter it. I said, oh, she was riding a horse, fell off and broke her arm. And she goes, oh, did you see her? And I was like, oh. She goes, that's exactly what happened. And I went, what?
That
Like,
is
and that was
okay.
just pure, yeah, pure intuition and this pure hit. And things like that would happen every now and then, like, I remember another morning I was driving to school and I had this exam on that day and I drove past and there's just been this car accident and I didn't stop because there was heaps of people there already. And I got this shiver and I'm like, someone's died. And my brother and sister are like, what are you talking about? I said, someone's died over there. And then it ended up being a child that had died. So it was even more tragic. But the thing was, I just had these intuitive hits all the time. I could never go to cemeteries. I always freaked out there. I never knew why. Like, I remember my grandmother passed and my dad would drive there and he's like, do you want to get out of the car? And I'm like, no. And I think he thought it was out of disrespect, but it was purely my insides going, I can't get out of the car. There's too much happening there. but I didn't understand what I was feeling or what was going on with that. So there were all these moments in life that were me following my intuition and trusting my gut, but I didn't realize that it was actually me tapping into that power of intuition.
So that is really interesting. All right. So you go on. You gave me this information. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of the like sort of back office system for the show, which taps into your intuition and sort of this story. So you and I connected through like a guesting podcasting platform that we're familiar with. The audience probably doesn't know what it was. You're one of the very first people, like when I reactivated my profile on there, who went through the system. And you actually, like when you scheduled your interview, I was like, oh, how did that happen? Who is this? Like it was like, it just like showed up. It didn't follow the right the path the way I had laid it out. And then I looked at it and I was like, huh, all right, but we'll keep going based on the description because you say you uncovered more of your psychic gifts, right, as a part of this. And I was like, maybe she knows something I don't know about why we're supposed to talk to each talk to each other. Cause I got your interview scheduled like almost before I got your information. Like I saw the appointment and then I was like, who is this person? Where did it come from? And usually I review the form and then send out a separate thing and you just showed up. So I was like, I'm just gonna let it go. I'm gonna trust in the universe that this was the way it was supposed to happen. But you said you uncovered more of your psychic gifts, learning to set your own standards, values and non-negotiables, and you were able to find your worth and whole build a business focusing on yourself. We've been using the word intuition. Tell me more about these psychic gifts. What are we talking about here?
Ah,
Other than
so
connecting with me through the back channel for podcast interviews, like, ta-da, here I am. Yeah.
you know the funny story about that, Amy? I had another pre-interview with someone the other week, and we're both sitting there having no idea how we ended up in the room with each other. And we're like, how did we even meet? I don't know. Was it through this? I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, maybe it's through this. She's like, I don't know. And then we connected on Instagram, but I was already connected to her. And then I put open the chat, and then we met through someone through Instagram who said, hey, connect with this person. And then we're like, oh, mystery solved. But we had no idea. And it ended
Yeah.
up being really cool because we ended up doing a swap. But when I started doing my spiritual awakening and tapping into the intuition, it was the big thing was learning to trust it, because so often we have this guidance come from within us, but we don't know if it's that voice in our head, the ego that likes to, make everything harder than what it has to be. But that's part of the human experience. It's okay. It's always going to be there. Or do we listen to a different voice that comes from within? So, weirdly, my naturopath, who was a big point in my life of keeping me alive, but his partner started offering this offering. And I remember I walked in and I said to him, hey, I saw that, Carly's got this offering. And he goes, you should do it. And I went, my whole soul went, yes, you should. It wasn't even a question. So I'm like, as soon as I finished that appointment, I was booked in, and I went back every 2 weeks, and it was like coming home, Amy. It was like, this is everything that I have known, but no one's kind of said to me. Like, I always felt my great grandmother was like always with me, and she was one of my spirit guides. And I remember connecting up there for the first time through meditation, and she was there waiting for me with open arms. And it still makes me cry, like how beautiful it was and how nice it was coming back to this person and that feeling that I always felt she was there with me, like she was one of my angels kind of thing. So it was this really beautiful connection. But then as you start to unpack all the layers and start to do all the healing, if you will, but it's you're always whole. It's just how you strip back things. But I started hearing things. So to the point where it started little things, and then I got this massive message from my dad, and I could feel it coming, and I didn't want it because I knew it was from my grandmother, and I didn't know how to approach my dad because he was very not spiritual at all, like just very like Catholic and very, straighty 180. And I was blocking it, and my ear actually got blocked, my left ear, because that's where I normally hear the sounds. And I was like, if I don't do something, I'm going to keep like, I need my hearing for work. I need to be able to hear people talking, for goodness sake, So I eventually sat down, and I writ down this like very long message that had come through, and I rang up my dad, and I said, oh, I have a message from you from Nona, which is my grandmother. And he's like, oh, did you dream it? And I'm like, no. was just like, I can't do the easy way out, right? And I shared it with him, and he's like, there is no way that is not her. He goes, that is definitely her. Can you read it again? I said, yeah. I said, did you want me to like take a photo of it and send it to you? He goes, no, burn it and don't tell anyone. And I was like, okay. You know,
Keep it a
because he was
secret.
just that pretty. Yeah, he was just in that protective dad mode. And I'm like, this isn't going to work. You know, like I can't hide this stuff anymore. So that was my first thing. And then when I meditated, I could see things really clearly. So I had that clairvoyance. And then I started seeing things in my mind's eye that, you know, I couldn't explain. And then I realized I always had the gift where I can see straight through people's masks and see underneath all the bull crap that they put up in front of it, because I would get a feeling about a person. And normally it was right. Like it wouldn't be proven always straight away because, you know, people were like, oh, but they're so nice. And I'm like, there's something that's not sitting with me that. And then later on, something happens. I'm like, that's what I was feeling. That's the mismatch of integrity or, you know, them being inauthentic or whatever it might be. That's what I could feel. And then I was listening to a podcast one day. This is why I love podcasts. And this person was talking about medical intuition. And I thought, I need to do that. And then I didn't have the money at the time for the course, and I just heard, you know, intuitively from my heart, you need to do it, we'll make the money appear. And I was like, all right. So I put it on the credit card, and within 2 days, this mysterious client that hadn't paid me for years paid me the amount of money that I used to pay for the course. So I was
Wow.
like, oh, thank you. This is very cool. And then when I started doing that course, it made me realize as well, I often took on other people's pain and I hadn't realized it. So I can actually feel other people's pain. I can feel what's happening in their body at the same time, but I didn't know what it was. So I would often go to parties when I was younger and it just put it down to like I ate something that wasn't right or I drank something that wasn't right when I was actually feeling everyone else's pain, whether they drank too much or something like that. And I always had to
Yeah.
go home and just kind of pull back from that. And that was such a powerful thing. Like, I don't say I do medical intuition, but it was such a powerful thing because it let me discern what was mine and what wasn't. And sometimes I'll get like a niggling feeling and I'll go, oh, is this mine? No, is this someone else's? And it might be someone in my family's. It might be someone I know, and then I know to contact them and say, hey, are you okay? You know, what's happening? Are you having like shoulder problems right now? And they're like, yes. How do you know that? You know, so it was
That's
just,
amazing. I just read
yeah.
there's a book by a woman named Octavia Butler called The Parable of the Sower. I just was it was a book club thing that I just read. The main character in that, it's like a dystopian future kind of thing, the world is ending kind of story. And the main character in there, they call her a hyper empath. And so if she's near somebody, she has to be close to somebody. This is fiction, but if she's near to somebody and they experience pain, she also feels it. So like if she's standing next to somebody, they break their arm, like she also feels it. And so it's a, and for a chunk of the book, she's hiding it from other people, like she and her family are hiding it. But anyway, good book, recommend it. But that made me think of that in the moment. Not on topic for what we're talking about. A little, it's Friday afternoon for me.
Oh,
My mind is popping around.
it is kind of on topic because a lot of what we get shown in movies and in books as like being fantasy is actually reality. And that's the crazy thing too. Like when you, like I watch back Star Wars now and things like that, and I'm like, oh, that's exactly what it's like. And my husband's like, what do you mean? I said, you can feel, you can connect in with everything. And, you know, the more I expand in my gifts too, you know, like I can now work in like the quantum field. Which is a fun thing to throw in on a Friday afternoon for you, but you know, and I can go up there and I can pull up people's DNA and look what's stopping them from expressing themselves fully, because our DNA is actually meant to be in like a heightened state, but we have all these conditions and beliefs that it can't do all these things, and we have these things called junk DNA, which actually isn't junk DNA. It's just they don't know what it is, so they call it junk DNA, right? But when you're actually activating it and working at like that higher level and working in the meditation and tapping into your intuitive gifts and everything, I feel it activates because I can feel like there's some extra part of us that makes us really amazing human beings. And, the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza and, all of that and how they start to categorize that and measure that and look into that, it's starting to put the woo and take the woo out of it because all of a sudden it can be measured. Whereas, I have this other gift called claircognizance, so I'll just know things. And I'm like, how do I explain this to people? And it's one of the hardest, Claire's or the hardest, Claire is a psychic gift. So it's the hardest psychic gift to trust because you can't, people are just like, how do you know that? It's like, I just do, and it's, I would remember I was having this conversation with my friend and her husband was going through this really complex gene therapy and I had no idea what she was talking about. And all of a sudden I just felt it was like a download, like someone opened the file. That's what it felt like. Someone opened the file and I had all the information. And I was like, oh, and then I explained it back to her. She's like, that's exactly what's going on. She goes, how do you know that? I said, I just got a download. And she knew what that meant because she was quite intuitive as well. But for another person, they'd be like, what? But it
That's funny.
allows me to like be present in so many different conversations, and it allows me to really come down to people's levels or come up to people's levels because I can see what they need to know or feel what they need to know or know just what they need to know. And it then allowed me as well to start when I was working with clients, I'd be like, okay, this is what you need to do if you want to shift out of that. And it would allow me to kind of see what steps they need to take so that their DNA could express itself fully and so they could fully express themselves as the beautiful human that they are.
That's really fun. I have a similar experience with people, but mine is not based on a psychic gift. It's based more on the fact that I've had these thousands of conversations with this enormous number of people. So I have this very eclectic bit of information where I just have random facts that people will will be like, and I will get people will call me and they're like, I don't know why I think you're going to know this, but here's this thing. Do you know who I would talk to? And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I do know someone who does that. That's called this. And they're like, how do you know that? And I'm like, because 5 years ago on this random assignment, I talked to this person and this is what they did. And I still remember. So the funniest story about that is that I was sitting next to a friend of mine at a banquet and she showed me a picture of a skin condition that her kid was having, and they were working with specialists. So she like they were connected to doctors. They were working on specialists. This is just random conversation. She shows me this picture, and I say, "That looks like Steven Johnson syndrome." And she's like, "Whatever, Amy." Walks away, goes and has a conversation with a group of people, and for some reason, who are all doctors, right? I am not. I am Amy. And she says, "Oh, my friend mentioned it might be Steven Johnson syndrome." They're like, that's what we think too. And she comes back to the table and she's like, who are you? And how did you know this? And I was like, oh, well, okay. So I had a neighbor who had this. So I've seen it. She's like, this is so weird, Amy. And I was like, no, I'm not trying to be anything other than me. It just so happens that once upon a time, I saw this exact rash on somebody else. So,
But that's
that's
a
my
gift too,
favorite.
Amy. And yeah, but that's a gift too, that the fact that A, that you can remember all these things so that if someone does come to you or feels to come to you, you have access to all this information. And it's like you're a wisdom collector, right? Like you just take it all in and you categorize it. So,
I do.
and being able to connect people is such a gift in itself. And a lot of people don't see that as a gift, but it truly is because if that person hadn't come to you and you gave them that piece of information they were looking for, then they would still be looking for that information and wouldn't be connected to the right people to help them or the right people to help them get forward.
They in that case, I think she was already. It was just a confirmation. It just was a hilarious moment of like me having. I'm an excellent person to have on a trivia team because I have all of this random information. But at the same time, people, it's not everything. It's not like I remember everything, everything. People will ask me, "Hey, what's the title of this song or whatever?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Like, can you hum a few lines? Like, because I don't, I can say so." But I appreciate that. I definitely do. It's a fun thing. I think it's so. What were the things? So you discover this, you're leaning into your intuition, you're leaning into these talents, you're going public with it, you're ignoring your father, you're not keeping it quiet. What were some of this, as part of this, I think you closed this business that you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that was a journey. So often there's a thing in the spiritual community called the dark night of the soul. And basically, how I describe it is whatever the biggest shadow is in your life that needs light shined on it, and the biggest thing holding you back from being yourself, it will start to fall apart, or lots of things will happen at once. So for me, of course, it was my company, because my company was my baby, which it
Okay.
definitely isn't, but that's how it feels, especially when you start it from the ground up. So I had three staff resign in a week, and
Okay.
I was devastated, because I'm like there consciously going, I need to pull back for my health. All of a sudden I have three staff leave, and it's actually really hard to find good allied health staff in Australia. And I was like, what am I going to do? I was on the ball crying, because I'm like, I can't take on more things. This is just crazy. But months before that, my husband, who's actually quite intuitive, he said to me, you need to sell the business. And I was like, no, how are we going to have money? Like all these things. Anyway, so this happened. And again, I could feel him thinking, you need to sell this business. Anyway, and then a month later, another three people resigned. So I was like, what? What is going on here? And that one, I was so angry. I remember going out, because I'd been doing all the work spiritually, and yelling at the universe, going like, what are you doing to me? And rah, rah, rah. And then a month later, another three resigned. It was always in threes, and always in the space of a week. And that one, I went, okay, these people aren't meant to be in my life anymore, and I'm not meant to have this company anymore. And I could almost feel the relief of coming to that decision, and it was once I sold it, and it was just like this massive weight had been lifted off me, and I could pull back, and it allowed me space to start to explore different things. But then it led to my own worth story, because I'd been so conditioned that you have to work hard for your money, especially like growing up in an Italian European family, you have to work hard for your money. You have to work every day. You can't rest. You have to work, 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 work. And I understand, but that's the mentality that I had. So then I didn't work for this money. I had, obviously, but in my mind, I was like, I hadn't worked for this money. So subconsciously, like, we paid off all this debt and we got rid of it. And I thought, great, we can live easy now. And then all of a sudden, there was nothing left. And we were living week to week again, and paycheck to paycheck, which, if anyone does that, I fully understand how hard that is, because when you get a bill you weren't expecting, it's almost devastating, because you're like, where am I going to pull this money
Yeah,
from?
I think
And it was
most
and
people are living in a version of that. So those who aren't, it's
exactly.
very fortunate, and it is stressful. It's really stressful. It's really, really stressful. So what values? So you're doing these things. The universe is setting up these obstacles for you, and things are falling apart. What are the you begin to pull out of this. You find yourself back. You're working with your origin story. That's what I did. You use those words, or did I assign them to you? But that's what we're talking about. Your
No, but I
story of
love
worth,
that.
right? Okay.
Exactly.
There's a book about how to unpack an origin story called The Story of You, and that's where I got that. I think it's a great combination of words. And as a part of this, I think that you begin to set up some rules, some non-negotiables as you move forward. Tell us more about what those were.
Yeah, so I got really savvy, because obviously we didn't have any spare money. So I started to have clients come in, but not a lot. I was still ha working like a 9 to 5, but for different reasons, I was working on commission, and that business was falling apart. I was actually working in my old company, so it was really interesting. But the biggest thing was like, I need space for me to be able to explore these gifts more, and I want my time with my family. And for anyone thinking like I'm stuck in this forever, get savvy, because there's so much powerful free stuff out there, which will at least give you insight in things that you can possibly do to start these steps, so that you can change your circumstances. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night, and because I met this person who was a coach, and I'm like, I really want to work with you. I don't know why. I just really want to work with you. I feel like I need someone, to shine some light. Because the biggest thing he taught me was, a mirror can't see herself, because you can't see what's always going on for you on the inside.
I
And
love
I got up in the middle of the
that.
night. Yeah.
A
And
mirror
I got up
can't
in
see
the middle
myself.
of the night, and I stayed to the end of this masterclass, because it was a Malaysian time, and he made this offer, Amy, and it was so doable and affordable, and we had that money in the account. And I was like, I need to book in with this. This is so, like, I have to say yes. So I did that. And then I went into that worth again, like, oh my gosh, what's my husband going to say? You know, like, I've just spent our last, you know, little bit of savings on this course for myself. And I was so excited, but at the same time, like, having that, you know, like, oh my gosh, inside. And I went to bed and he woke up because he could feel kind of like me going, and then he's like, I told him, but I didn't say I'd bought it. I said, this is the deal. And he goes, oh gosh, I hope you signed up for that. And I was like, oh, I did. I was so worried what you were going to say. But the point is that sometimes you need support because you can't see it yourself. And you know, it was through that that I started to realize actually there are things in my life that aren't working. They're really not working for me, and I need to put in these standards, values, and non-negotiables. And your standards and values change because as you evolve as a person, what you need in your life will change too. But your non-negotiables normally pretty much stay the same. So my non-negotiable, family day, 100%. One day a week, it's normally a Sunday. We have family fun day and we take turns. So I've just got one son and a whole heap of pets. But you know, the pets don't get a say, but you know, we
They
take
don't get to
turns.
vote.
They don't get to vote. We take turns choosing an activity to do as a family. And sometimes it might be just staying home and watching a movie together, but it doesn't matter. The whole point is that for me, consciously, I know that's a day that I have nothing scheduled. I'm not doing anything. And I can just be with my boys and be in like this really happy place. So that's a non-negotiable for me. Another is connecting and meditating every day, and it's not very long. And so people think, you know, meditation has to be this big long process and things like that. For me, I just close my eyes and I go into my heart and I connect with God and I say, how can I serve today? And for me, that sets the tone of my day to knowing what I need to do. So today I got, you need to rest, and I just laughed because I'm getting up, you know, at 5 a.m. to do this interview with you. But at the same time, I know, like they're just saying, take it easy today and don't have all this pressure on yourself. So I
Right,
understand
'cause
where that
it's
rest
Saturday and
was
it's
coming
Saturday
from.
for you.
It
It's
is
not a Monday
Saturday. It
through
is Saturday.
Friday. Well,
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's true. I mean, I think that there are a couple of things that come to mind when you say that. I think that it can be really hard when you get the when you have to face the fact that something in your life is not working. It can be really hard to admit that. It can be really hard to allow yourself to see it. So, you know, one of the things that I sometimes say, I like the way you said a mirror can't see herself. I will say
Yes.
things like, you can't read the bottle, you can't read the label from inside the bottle, right? Like when it's happening to
Yeah.
you, it's harder to see. And when we're in a routine and when we're used to something, I see this a lot with jobs and education. To use like a really basic example, people will be three quarters of the way through working for a degree, decide that they're absolutely on the wrong path, and then and but they'll they're like, but I'm so close to finished. And actually, sometimes I would agree. I'm like, if the thing is just to finish, then you can be okay with that, right? But we see that in other things. If you've got a routine, a daily routine that's really not working because there are you know, your metabolism has changed, or you've got different kids, or you've got house guests, or whatever. It can be really hard to look at that and be like, this is a problem and I need to change it. And so I just throw that out because when you have that feeling, you push through it and you've got talents and you're like, I'm going to make changes. For those people who are listening who are like, I know it's a problem, but I'm having trouble changing. I'm thinking of a friend of mine, actually, so a family member, and she was like, she really, really wanted to go on a diet. And yet every day when she left work, she would grab a soda and a candy bar. And she knew that that was part of the problem, but it took her a really long time before she was willing to change it, even though she knew, she could tell you.
Yeah, and I guess it's that when you can tap into a different how do I explain that? I'm just getting like an image. It's like you can there's like you have this version of you, but you have this other if you can tap into a vision of your future of what you want to be like and then realize actually that person has different values and that person has different standards, but you can change that straight away because if you connect in with that vision and you truly feel it, then it's possible, right? Because if you can feel it in your body, your brain's like, oh yeah, that can happen. Why can't that happen? And then you go, all right, what do I actually need to become that person? And what isn't serving me for that goal? And that's been really helpful for me too, to start like getting rid of things in my life. It sounds really weird, but like almost you do like a commitment audit where you go, Where is all my time and energy going? And what can I actually get rid of that's actually not serving me? You know, and like you said, habits, new habits are really hard to create. And when you're trying to think of a bigger thing, the coolest thing, because I've listened to the Atomic Habits and the 5 a.m. Club and all those sorts of things, but the biggest thing they all say is start with one thing. Start with one thing. It might be this week I'm going to focus on drinking more water. You know, so instead of drinking the soda, you might just go, okay, no, my goal this week is I'm drinking more water. And then the next week you're like, all right, I'm drinking more water. Now I'm going to, you know, eat an extra piece of veg, like eat an extra vegetable or something like that. So you just keep adding on one thing, or, you know, get sunlight and do things, you know, they don't even cost money. And that's just starting to consciously change your mindset and consciously change your habits, because you want to become this person rather than staying, like you said, a lot of people are problem aware, but they're not solution seeking, or the solution seems too hard, because it does take courage to change, because you are the fact, you are the one that can create that change. You're the one that has to be the one willing to change, because if you're not willing to be the change in your life, you're not going to ever step out of that cycle.
So my family member with the candy bar and the soda, what she eventually did, and this is, I was a kid, so I was not a part of finding the solution, but what she actually did is she was like, I can't exit the building that way. She's like, I have to leave my office out of a different side so I don't walk by this machine, because it just shouldn't. Yeah, so that's the way she broke the habit. But all right, so very good. All right, we're going to shift, and we're going to talk about your new business in a minute. We're going to do the final questions, but I want to give you a chance. So you had this practice that you did, and I want to give you a chance to tell people what you do now and how they can connect with you after the interview.
Yeah, so thank you, Amy. So I do a few things now. So I do leadership coaching. I have a podcast too, and I'm writing books, which are nearly ready to go out. Hopefully, when this comes out, they'll be out. And I also do speaking, because I love talking, and I feel sometimes if your story just lands, you know, with one person or something, they take one gold nugget, then you've done your job right. And then so, but the leadership coaching is really cool, because I like work a lot with mums, and I can help them see what's stopping them. Because a lot of mums I work with, they have these dreams for this business, but they're not sure how to get it off the ground. So I've got, you know, my track record of I know how to build a business. I can tell you what not to do, so you don't end up in chronic stress and, you know, create this bottle, like you said, the bottleneck kind of thing as well. And the really cool thing is I can use my intuitive gifts to help tap into that too. So I can put, like, you know, I can see where they're stuck in terms of, you know, what's stopping them from moving forward, and I can empower them to help unstuck that, I guess, or, you know, move through that, so it's no longer hindering them from getting to where they need to go. And it's not a smooth journey, but at the same time, when you know someone's there supporting you and challenging you, because that's ultimately what I do, I want to support you and challenge you out of your ways so that you can be this version of yourself that you want to be. And so I'm just there holding space, but, you know, it's really powerful, because it allows me to help you get clear on what your vision is, get, you know, heard on what you need to get out into the world, because so often we'll have all these gifts and we stay hidden. You know, we really need to connect. And then ultimately, it's like, how do you get paid for that too? So it's those kind of steps that we work through. And then, you know, I bring in all my other magic and stuff as well. I'm doing that. I call it magic, you know, because
Works.
it is through that combination. Exactly. And doing the work with the energy. Energy is 80% and mindset's 20%. You can't just focus on mindset. You have to change it energetically as well. Because if you don't believe you're worth anything, or don't believe that, you know, you have the ability to do something, have that self-doubt, it's always going to come back up, and that reflects on the outside too, and what actually gets attracted to you. So doing that work as well helps my clients move forward, and they just get this beautiful self-belief back, and this courage, you know, to do things that they never thought they'd do. Like I had one client move like interstate to get away from this toxic relationship. It's the best thing she ever did. You know, I had another client who stood up to her son and said, no more, like, you can't keep sponging off me. And, you know, because she was already looking after her mum. So it was like all these things kind of come up. And it's just through believing in yourself again and realizing, and again, having those standards, those values, and those non-negotiables. And, you know, You can be quick to trust. This is what my coach says. You can be quick to trust, but even quicker to take it back. So if people, you allow people in, but they're pushing on your values and your standards and not respecting you, then you're very quick to say, no, this isn't okay. And learning the
Yeah.
power of no, so powerful. Yeah.
It is. No, it is. All right. So you have a wonderful offer that you have provided for the audience. I'm going to share it. It's called an Authentically You session. This is a 30-minute business energetic consult to determine the blocks and steps forward on your journey. That sounds a lot like what you were just talking about. So that's very good. This session is worth $110. I don't know if that's Australian dollars or US dollars, but you can let me know. And you have a link to book it for the audience, and that will be in the show notes. It will be wherever you are. Those are sometimes hard to get. So the people who are listening who are on the treadmill or on their walk or in their car or on the train or wherever you are, the easiest way to get these links is to make sure you're subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email community. Because then I send you the link directly into your email box and you can just click on it and have these wonderful gifts. Thank you very much for that very generous gift for the audience. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I just love connecting with people. And, if I can help you in some way, see something that's blocking you and give you that little thing that you've been looking for, then I know that that's why we're meant to connect.
That's beautiful. All right, so. Are you ready, Catherine, for the final three questions, the rapid fire fun ones?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, very good. So, you know what? You already shared this with us. I write these beforehand and I never know what people are going to say, but my first question for you was, do you have a typical morning routine? And if so, are you willing to share it with us? But you already told us that you get up and you meditate and you spend time before the family. What else is a part of that? Here's a question. I'll do a follow-up, an off-the-cuff follow-up question. When you do your morning routine, what is your morning beverage of choice? Is it coffee? Is it tea? Is it hot water with lemon, or is it something else?
It's two things. So usually I have water with lemon in it, and a little bit of Celtic salt, but I make custom tea. So I have like a little apothecary and I just intuitively choose what herbs I want for the day and set me up with this beautiful tea, which is a nice ritual in itself. And I really love doing that.
Okay, all right, very good. Okay, so if you take a long driving trip, like a road trip in the car, do you have a favorite snack that for you is like a road trip snack?
I'm kind of addicted to these little protein balls. And
Okay.
they're like made and they're like got caramel, like, but they're not caramel, but they taste like caramel. And usually if I've been having especially if I'm driving a lot for work and I've had a big week, I will go, all right, I'm getting petrol, I need to get these snacks, or I'll make sure I have nuts or things like that. And I know it sounds really boring, but I just find that that actually keeps me awake more than munching on like potato chips or things like that.
Very good. Little protein balls available, or nuts available from the petrol station, which in the US we would call a gas station. But it sounds so much fancier, a petrol station. I love it. Okay. So this question actually only works if you went to sort of a traditional school. So we'll see how it goes. I have no idea if you did that. Thinking back to high school, which is what we call, do you guys call it high school also in Australia? Okay. So thinking back to high
We
school.
have high school,
Okay,
yes.
very good. So thinking, I wasn't sure as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, does that work? Thinking back to high school, what was your favorite class? And do you still remember the name of the teacher who taught
Yeah, it was modern history. So funny. And Mr. Kokich. And there's a funny story there, but I love that class. And I loved because how he taught it, he was so passionate because he'd been to a lot of the places that he was teaching us about. And he was just so engaging. It was like one of my favorite classes to go to. And I felt really lucky because that class wasn't meant to happen, but so many of us wanted that class because of the lines the subjects were on that they actually created that class. So we were very lucky to even get him as a teacher. So I do definitely remember that. Especially he was very passionate, very, very passionate.
I love that. I love that story and I love that answer. That's it, Catherine Castani. Thank you so much for sharing your story and being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I loved being here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.